Now, if you're visiting, really welcome this morning. We're so glad to have you here. Let me just give a word of explanation. During this summer, we always run a distinctive summer series. In DC, we run what we call a nine-month church year because we have this sort of saying that there's no point giving a prophetic word to the church in June, July, and August because there's just no one there to do anything about it. But we go into a slightly different routine. And this summer, we've been doing something under the sort of title, Shake It Up Summer. And as you know, every Sunday has been slightly different. The thinking behind it was there are so many things that we love to do as a community. When do you get most people there to do it? Well, most people are actually there on a Sunday morning. So that is why you've come in some Sundays. It's been corporate prayer for the city. Some Sundays you've come in, we've gone out and reached out to the neighborhood through Care Company. Another Sunday was just like our old new wine, where we just focused on worship. So it hasn't been the normal, you know, worship block and then our teaching that we normally have. So as you come today, today again is going to be slightly different. And as we go to worship and in a moment, I'm just going to invite you to remain seated. I'm not going to be standing. Just remain seated. We're going to be a little more meditative this morning together, and there's going to be just a focus on you, and the theme really, we're going to be picking up the issue of asking. I think Bo mentioned it was going to be an Ask Sunday, and in a way I want you to get this as both retrospective and prospective, because if you remember 2 years ago I did a series all year, a 1 year series on the subject of asking. Depressed me. How many of you actually remember that? Three people, that's absolutely fantastic. Prayer life of the church is really strong. That's good. Okay. So, retrospective, back to that time we had and the study we had where we really dealt with the theology of asking. But also prospective, as we gather as a community and as we will be calling each other throughout this next year to bear the burdens and the intercessions that God invites us to bring to Him. All the asking that we're going to be anticipating in a new church year. And that we're just in sync together and we're geared and we understand the freedom we have to ask of the Lord. So let me just read a scripture out of, you know, the words of Jesus, which we'll be looking at a little later on. I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. Did you get that? In other words, as we get into this issue of asking, so often when we ask, it's predominantly about our needs. But the way Jesus presents it is we have to understand that our asking relates more fundamentally to His nature, who He is, than our needs. Because if you think about it, if we're sort of not sure about His nature and who He is to us, we really will not have much clue about how to ask or what to ask for. But the point I want you to gather is we're just sitting. You say, well, you know, where's the block of worship? As we get into talking about asking and doing some asking together this morning, Jesus equates asking actually with adoring. He says, because what happens as a result of our asking is that glory is brought to the Father. It's about His name. It's about His worship. It's about what's released as we engage this intimate process of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in basically having conversation and being intimate. How many of you would say that you've done less asking this week than you'd really like to have done? I'm obviously the only one. And if you remember, one of the things we kind of concluded a couple of years ago was that when you actually examine how you ask and what you ask for, we ask for very little. We ask in crisis, but on the whole, we actually ask for very little. And it's not surprising sometimes to our own chagrin spiritually that we have not because we ask not. So we're going to just revisit asking this morning. We're going to take some meditative time to ask. And we need to be encouraged to ask for ourselves, actually, very, very strongly. So setting the context for it, welcome to a corporate gathering, but I also want to welcome you to thinking personally and intimately about your own asking lists. We'll talk about that a little later as we gather this morning. Lord, we pray that your peace now will abide with us. We've just sung, Lord, we are waiting. We are waiting for you. Lord, we need less of a teacher or a preacher or anything else this morning. We need that sense of your presence. And we thank you that you said to your disciples that they would ask in your name after you were ascended, that they would ask. They would ask. There'd be a new kind of asking. And that would be the sign of your presence. So we pray for that sign of your presence graciously among us this morning that is related to our asking of you for our lives and our families and for our nations and our neighbors. We pray these things now, Lord. We need your help. We invite it. We start by asking for what we need in Jesus' name. Amen. We've now just got two or three different short segments to take you through. But just before we do that, I want to go back just for a few minutes and remind you about something, about this call for us to ask of God. And why this is so important to God. I'm going to give you some quick reasons that I think are very convincing as to why God wants us to ask. It's interesting to me in Scripture the pains that God goes to actually, if you like, provoke his people to ask of him. Sometimes, if I can give this as a first one, sometimes God is so eager for us to ask of him that he takes the initiative to kickstart the process. And he does it in a number of different ways. First, he begins the process with us by asking the first question, by asking us a question. How many of you found yourself spiritually being asked something by God? Yeah. The asking of God, of course, in the Bible started really early in Genesis 3:9. Where are you? We get this theme through the prophets. God says through Isaiah, when I asked, no one answered a word. Or the obvious questions that Jesus asked to kickstart this responsiveness in relationship to him, as he did when he spoke to the man and said, who's obviously ill. It seemed clear to everybody what he was asking for. And Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? So we see sometimes the divine asking, the divine question comes to us to kickstart us into asking of the Lord. Sometimes he kickstarts our asking by, in fact, giving us the questions that we should be asking, the things that we should ask for. He wants us to ask. In fact, Jeremiah 33:3 gives us a reason why he wants us to keep asking, because God says, I will tell you when you ask the great and unsearchable things you didn't know. Maybe one of the best examples is, in fact, in Luke 11, when the disciples actually don't know how to ask. So Jesus taught them the asking prayer that we prayed this morning, one of the most fundamental asking templates in all of Scripture, in terms of what it invites us to trust the Lord for, our giving him an asking invitation to impart to us. And, of course, you could argue that a prayer like John 17, which I wish we had time just to marinate that. We need a whole day we just marinate and pray out John 17. But it's one of Jesus' great asking lists. If you ever want to know what Jesus is asking for you, go to John 17 and pray it. Packed with stuff that he wants us to ask for ourselves. Sometimes God kickstarts our asking by just being plain explicit about what he asks of us. What does the Lord your God ask of you? But to fear the Lord your God, walk in his ways, love him, serve him with all your heart, with all your soul, and observe the Lord's commands and decrees. He actually tells us what to ask for. And of course, that provokes our asking for the empowerment and the resources and the help and the maturity to fulfill what he's asking of us. Sometimes God kickstarts our asking by using circumstance or adversity or even crisis to get our attention, because sometimes that only what stops us enough to get us to ask the right questions. In fact, God said to his people at one bad time, he said, many disasters and difficulties will come upon you, and on that day you will then ask, have not these come upon us because God is not with us? There was a provocation of circumstance that got them to ask the basic questions about what was going on, or why is this not going on that should be going on, or why am I in this place, or why is this happening? And if you ask, God says through another prophet, why has this happened to me? He says they'll discover it's because of. Sometimes God kickstarts our asking by telling people to ask of someone or something else before him, which is why often God almost is saying, well, ask of the fathers, ask somebody else, ask of the way of the Lord of somebody. But for goodness sake, ask. Sometimes it's very, very direct, where God kickstarts our asking almost by being in our face, in commanding us to ask. Ask me of things to come. Ask me what I shall do for you. Ask. It seems so obvious. And I think if you remember when we looked at this a couple of years ago, it's amazing how asking, I suggested you get such a bad rap, because people take the ask, seek, knock sequence, which you can teach and preach any number of different ways, as if asking is sort of some shallow 101, but you know, it's really the seeking that's the real thing, and you know, the knocking, you know, those are the really powerful guys, you know, the knocking. And I think I said to you, I mean, there's scores of words used in Scripture for the process of prayer, and they're all askings at different speeds, with different intensities. But fundamentally, is the heart that asks of the Father with right motives in the right state of heart. Now, this last week at Urban Hands, you might be wondering what all this is up here. You're thinking, Stuart's going to talk to us about the artwork he did on his vacation and express to us visually the state of his soul. Extremely colorful and bright. This is work that was produced during Urban Hands this week. And for the last 3 years, at Urban Hands, there's been a segment where members of what we call an ask team have come in, who are all part of an organization called Ask International. It's an asking prayer network that, as you know, Seeley, it's something we trust and steward as a church. Celia here is the international director for it. It's in nations all over the place. Very simply, all generations praying for all nations. But it's this passion to encourage asking of the Lord. And all the kids do an asking unit, learning how to ask and going on site to ask of the Lord. And I'm going to invite Ann Doggett. Ann, where are you? Ann, and I think Amy's going to join you, however you're doing it, to just come, and they're just going to give you a little feedback report on this asking of the kids this week in our city, in Urban Hands.
Well, we'll probably both cry, don't you think, Amy? I don't want to start off crying, but I probably will. We spent the week, Ask Network was invited in, as Stuart said, 3 years ago to do a project with the kids. And I think what's happening there is... it's sort of a two-pronged thing. We want to work in the Lord, and Urban Hands wants to do that too. They spend time working the Lord into them and then going out during the day to do a project. And I'm just reminded of that passage where Jesus said, he who builds his house on a rock, well, he who hears my word and does my word is like the one who builds the house on the rock. And I remember some people look at that as kind of a legalistic thing, oh, hearing and doing. But it isn't, because God knows that if we don't do the word, it can't work into us. And I think that's what we're about when we come in and do a project with these kids. We spend an hour in the morning with them, teaching them Bible meditation. It's a brand new thing, the whole idea of sitting on a passage and letting God speak to you about it. These kids may not have ever heard God wants to speak to them uniquely, personally. We were very blessed by the devotions that Urban Hands did with them for the hour before we even got them. And it always fed in to something we were doing that day. One day, they did a piece on Bible meditation, and they called it Lectio or Lexia Divina. those of you who know that, it is Bible meditation. It's hearing the word, someone reads it, and then the kids were directed to just highlight one word or a phrase, and then sit before God silently and let him speak to them on that little phrase. That was a huge help to us, because if you tell the guys to just underline one word, anybody can do that. So that particular morning, I asked for some feedback on their devotion time, and this one sweet girl opens up. I felt really awkward. I didn't know what I was doing. And I said, thank you for that honesty. That's one thing we get from these kids. I love it. They are completely candid. They fall asleep on us. I mean, it's just really real in there. So this girl speaks up. Stuart sees us do that too. Okay. So she spoke up and said it was awkward. And so we said, well, here we're going to practice it again. This girl was the first one to give us feedback after our meditation time. So God made it real to her just in that short amount of time. So we looked at a scripture in Numbers where, remember, the spies go up to spy out the land, and they bring back two reports. And we prayed on news media this year. We took the kids to the museum. So we wanted just for them to see how you can take the same event and get different perspectives on it. We wanted them to see that really the only person of truth and source of truth is Jesus. And that's why we wanted, you know, to get them into the Word, show them the Word is the real thing. When you get God's perspective, that's where the truth lies. Okay, so we spent some time then in preparation, then we walked to the museum. What we found, we gave them some general topics to pray on. Truth and reporting was the main focus, just praying through the museum that there would be truth coming out of the media. We prayed for Christians in the media and gave them some scriptures out of Ephesians, stand strong in the Lord, to pray for Christians. And then we asked them to pray for the unsaved in the media, turn to me and be saved. For I am God and there is no other, from Isaiah. But what we found when we got there is that these kids would get so engrossed in the actual exhibits, they needed to pray on those too. The day that the kids did in their morning devotions with Urban Hands, they did a meditation out of Isaiah 61 about opening prison doors. So when we got to the museum, I was with two other guys, and we were at the Berlin Wall, and we just prayed there for those who were behind walls of any kind, prison doors, walls of culture, government, religion. I found out later that one of these, this young man who was there, listening to me pray about people behind prison doors, has a brother in prison currently. Has a brother who was murdered. The other brother went after the murderers, and now that brother is in prison. And this boy, here's the thing, guys. When we go out and pray for God's heart and God's issues, he does a reverse blessing on us to bless where we might be needy. And I think that's the thing we love about praying God's heart. He doesn't ever miss blessing us back in return. So this boy never spoke to me about this issue. I learned about it later. But I think God was waking him up. I care about you. I care about your brother in prison. And when you do my mission, you also get a return blessing. I don't think I have much more to say. Is there anything I'm not covering? Okay. So they came back. They had lunch. And it was probably the longest day of any service project, because we passed them on to Amy. And I'll pass the microphone.
Yes, yeah, so they passed them on to me, and what we then did is essentially unpack what they had experienced thus far. And the thing that I, you know, you probably realize this, when you come to God and you say, okay, I'll do, and this is where I'll probably start to cry, I'll do my part, and I maybe only know this much of it, and we're all these little tiny pieces, and as much as even those of us that, you know, like to see big picture and figure things out, we still only know this little sliver. And God is using every single one of us in his perfect plan to say his truth in this world. And that's what I got to be part of and witness every single day. I came in about 1:30 in the afternoon. They had already done all of this. They were exhausted, mentally, spiritually, physically. But what we did is we walked through what they had done at the museum, and we brought to the table the devotions from the morning and the teachings and worship from whatever night they had been there. So day one, we had only had one teaching, but day five, there had been five teachings prior. And we were seeing kids bring, and the youth bring more and more of that to the table. Every day in Urban Hands, whatever the service project is, they're dealing with various parts of poverty and injustice. And what we were challenged by in the teachings was there's a spiritual poverty and a spiritual injustice too. It's so easy to start just seeing it as the physical, but there's a spiritual component. And then when they're at the museum, they're bombarded by these world tragedies, and most of it was devastation. So again, both there's this physical devastation, but at the same time in that, there's a spiritual devastation. And we were asking the youth then through to take through meditation and then visual communication to process that, because what we wanted them to get to was God's truth. And on the Tuesday night, a ministry called RTF spoke in Restoring the Foundations, and it's a healing and deliverance ministry. And there was a cycle that she showed us on the board, and we used that the rest of the week. And that was that our experiences, that was the top of the circle, is, and all the experiences that happened to us and the factual things that happened there essentially begin to form our belief system. And they can be formed rightly or wrongly, but that forms the belief. And our beliefs and then inform our expectations of the world. And our expectations form our behavior and how we then act, which then, when we put into our next experience we have, we bring that to it. And this cycle, if it's not truthful, just keeps getting more and more full of lies. And so what we wanted to do is say, okay, God, we've had all these experiences at the museum, and we want to bring those facts that we saw to you, and we need to hear your truth. Because it's really easy then to start to believe that this is a horrible place to live. There's no hope. There's no justice. There is no God. He doesn't care about me. And to live that way. And that's how most of our world lives. So we wanted God to show up, and we were asking him to show up. And we were asking him first to show up through a little journal assignment, which journaling is something that most of us have done before. We're used to using words in writing. But oftentimes we can stop in what we're comfortable with. So what then we asked the youth to go further with that, asked them to submit to this process and to trust me and that God would show up, which is a big statement to make in front of a huge group of youth. But the amazing thing was that God completely showed up. And you're seeing five boards of nine. There were nine teams, each team painted on one board. And you're seeing the visual representations of them communicating with God and God communicating back to them. So that's why these are so awesome. A few of you came up to me and said, oh, Amy, they're so beautiful. And on an artistic standpoint, some of them actually are, in that how color and balance and proportion and whatnot. But they're gorgeous because they really are God communing with his people, his beloved, and them hearing back from him. I could go through and tell you what each thing means, because we did get a chance for each youth to share what was happening. I'm going to share one that actually isn't here, but it was a girl, and she was one of the last, it was on the last day, she was one of the last few to speak. And I wish we had taken stills of each, like, 5 minutes too, because you wouldn't believe some of these, how they started and ended were two different things. Because when we come to God and we have one word or one phrase and we bring that to him and we start talking to that about that to him, he then starts talking back, and what we end with is something completely different than what we started. And so she had started and she was painting, and as it went, the colors changed, the shapes changed, and at the end when I asked her, what are you processing and what is the experience you had of that process, which was the two questions we asked everybody, she stood there and looked at it and said, oh my gosh, I started in this way, but what I see now is I see that this green around represents trees, and trees are, and nature is my favorite place to be. And in the few times in my life that I've actually felt God's presence, I've been in nature. And in the center of it, I'm seeing water, and I'm totally fearful of water. It's my biggest fear. Like, I'm petrified by large bodies of water, in it, flying over it, you name it, I'm afraid. And God is telling me that he is surrounding my biggest fear, and that he will protect me from that, and he is enough. And she started to cry. And that night we took communion, and it was our last night, and she was able to share that with God, and God was able to come in. She was able to talk to a few leaders, and it was really huge. And we had that kind of thing happening throughout these. And the neat part for me and the other ASK leaders was to see what was coming up on like a Tuesday in the boards and how that specifically depicted what was going to be taught on Tuesday night by a completely different leader. None of this was known or talked about, but the Holy Spirit was saying, I am talking to you and I care about you. See this, remember this, and bring that forth, because I'm going to keep talking to that. So our youth, we challenged them to take photos of these things so they could remember a time that God spoke to them, keep their books from Urban Hands. The day that Ann was talking about the walls, this was one from that. There's a prison wall. There's walls around the world. God's also a wall around the chaos. We would see these things. And I'm speechless, but I also, if you got me going, couldn't stop about how amazing all of that was. And so, I think the big part is that we do need to quiet ourselves and we do need to ask, and that those two go together, because there's so much chaos and there's so much destruction, and that just, even if we don't stop and process it and ask the Lord, we won't have his truth. And if we don't have his truth, that cycle will slowly start to deteriorate, and we won't be able to stand in his truth and in the way that he says who we are and what he wants us to do. So to submit to him and to ask and humble ourselves. So thank you.
They did a fantastic job, and I think that those young people will never again be able to look at a newspaper or listen to something on television without knowing that their now immediate response is to turn that into prayer. And thank you. It says everything. Thank you. Huge. So asking can be about the biggest things you read in the newspaper. How many of us, most of you don't remember this, but none of us would have believed my age that the Berlin Wall would ever come down. We just didn't believe it. It was so beyond impossible. But with God, it became possible. And so asking can be huge things, but today we're going to be asking about us. We're going to be asking about you. The Lord says, love your neighbor as yourself. And if you are not loving yourself in the presence of the Lord and bringing your askings, your personal askings to the Lord, you will not be able to reach out to your neighbor and help them ask and ask for them. And I think there's no contradiction, but there is a godly tension, isn't there, between the transcendent God and the immanent God. And at the place of prayer, that godly tension can be resolved in us. That the almighty, holy, creator God, this extraordinary, almighty, holy, universal God, is also sitting right beside you, wanting to hear what is concerning you. He wants to be intimately involved in what you need to ask him for today, from the smallest things to the biggest things. And my mom came to know the Lord right before she went home to be with the Lord. But she would regularly say, I can't pray for me because God is too big and too important to be involved in the little things in my life. And it used to just give me such extraordinary pain for her, because I wanted to say, it's precisely because God is so huge that he has the capacity to care about the tiny things of your life. So Jesus not only invites us to ask, as we've already looked at some of these scriptures this morning, he actually is telling us to ask. And if we could just quickly pull up the PowerPoint of the times. Now, I want you to imagine the context for a minute. We're in John 13, and Jesus has washed the disciples' feet. He's this extraordinary enactment of cup, the poured out blood, and the broken body. He's already enacting what is about to take place in his life the next day. And he's already prophesied that he's going to be betrayed. Then he turns to Judas and says, go do what you're going to do quickly. Now, if you knew you now had certainly no more than hours, depending on how quickly Judas moved, maybe minutes, what is it you're going to say as the Son of God to the men around you? What is your last will and testament? What was Jesus' last will and testament? And in a very measured, calm way, he lays out what's known as the Upper Room Discourse, extremely orderly, John 14, 15, 16. And in there, where you see it in green, I've done the asking part, what Jesus is telling us to do. And where you see the blue, it's either the cause or effect of that asking. It's either the sort of what's propelling you into the asking or the reward of it. So, and this is the first time, comes in John 14, 13. And I will do, Jesus will do, whatever you ask in his name, that the Son may bring glory to the Father. Stuart's already mentioned this morning. If we are not asking, we are not bringing glory to the Father. And, you know, for someone like Anne and I, we get slightly embarrassed. It's awkward for us when we hear things like Stuart said, you know, you're part of a prayer network. Anne is both on the U.S. national team and the local leader of ASK. It feels awkward because the more involved you get in prayer, the more insignificant you feel. And there is not one of us, Stuart, when he said it this morning, there is not one of us that feels we pray enough. Not one of us. But that is not grounds for condemnation. I just don't pray enough, give up. It's an invitation. Of course, we're never going to feel we pray enough. But it's an invitation to constantly move increasingly into that asking place. So never hear it as a condemnation, God's given up on you because you don't ask enough. Always hear it as Jesus saying, I want to hear more from you. It's an invitation to move on in. So the fruit of asking in God, in the name of Jesus, is glory to the Father. The next one, I will ask in the Father, and he will give you another counselor for you, with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. So this is the fruit of his asking, and it's also the fruit of our asking. He did it first for us. He asked the Father that we would have the Holy Spirit, wonderful counselor. You get counsel from the Holy Spirit. Comforter, you get comfort from the Holy Spirit. And so not only did Jesus do it for us first, but the more you ask, the more you're going to be receiving all the fullness of who the Holy Spirit is. Next one. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. And so the whole relationship between remaining in Jesus in relationship, remaining in the word and asking whatever you wish. Just a quick aside. If you are one of those ones that's sitting there going, this sounds, as Stuart said, even unreasonable. It seems too extreme that Jesus is going to say, ask whatever you want, you're going to get it. Remember that Jesus only a few hours later was to pray the greatest unanswered prayer ever in history. That he was going to ask for a cup to be taken from him, and it wasn't. Because he added the words, if it be your will. And as we work increasingly into this asking place and constantly ask the Lord to reveal to us what his will is, even in our asking, we will be able to see that out of that unanswered prayer of Gethsemane, Jesus got a bride. And so unanswered prayers are often the gateways, the doorways to even greater things than we could have asked for. Okay, next one. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. If you love me and obey what I command. So again, our asking comes because we love him. If we love Jesus, he wants us to ask. So we are asking as a love response to Jesus and also an obedience factor. And again, just to continue to reinforce this idea that sometimes when you ask and you don't get the answer you want or the answer that you think you need to continually submit that back in love and obedience to who Jesus is. And I think Bo addressed this earlier in the summer when he did on Sunday morning on prayer, and go back to Stuart's asking series, because an unanswered prayer should never be something that stops you asking. If the disciples had left the upper room after 9 days, so often I think we're tempted to give up just at the moment where if we press through, we'll see something extraordinary happen. So keep that. We sang this morning. Thanks, Chris. We are waiting. Next one. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. And again, that was referenced a couple of times this morning, that in that being fruitful in our lives gives us even more permission to continue to ask. And one final one. I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked anything in my name. ask and you will receive, then your joy will be complete. I don't know much in my life. I've had the privilege of being involved in prayer ministry from the age of 19 onwards. I stumbled into an organization called Lydia Fellowship because my roommate, her mom, was a Lydian. She prayed the word, and I was so fascinated by the way she prayed the word. It was just so strong and powerful and meaningful, and it just spoke so much to me about what prayer sounded like and should be like. And of course, I met Stuart 6 months later, not knowing that his mom had actually founded Lydia Fellowship. So since the age of getting saved at 18, from 19 onwards, this has been part of my life. I don't necessarily know much, but one thing I know that I know that I know, that there is nothing on the face of the earth that prayer does not affect and change. And it usually affects you first, but it does. There is nothing in your life, there's nothing on the face of the earth that cannot be affected by asking. So there you've got Jesus preparing to go over to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he has this three-chapter discourse, which must have, I think, taken him, I would say, what would you say, much longer than Stuart's sermon, I guess, an hour and a half, probably, to discharge that. And there he is preparing to go to the cross, and he puts all this weight on knowing that you and I can hear that he's inviting us to ask. And then his last will and testament, so to speak, is culminating in John 17. And John 17 was Jesus' wish list. And what we're going to do this morning, Stuart grew up with this as part of his family practice. They would fairly regularly, but particularly when there was a need, they would take a blank piece of paper and they would write at the top of it, Ebenezer. And Ebenezer can mean anything from hitherto the Lord has helped me till up till now God has helped me. But the concept behind the word Ebenezer is that God has brought me thus far. He has kept me thus far. And so right at the top of the piece of paper, and you can grab a bulletin or you can scribble it in the back of your Bible or you can pull out a receipt out of your purse. But at the top, I want you to write on a piece of paper, if you can, it's not obligatory, but I'm inviting you to, the word Ebenezer. And at the bottom of it, you're going to write Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah and then J-I-R-E-H. And that is literally means God is the provider. First time in scripture it's ever used is when Abraham goes to sacrifice Isaac. And it Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. And he did the sacrifice instead of Isaac. So at the top, Ebenezer. At the bottom, Jehovah Jireh. And in a moment, after we've gone into the word, just like they did this week at Urban Hands with the Ars Network Project, they go into the word first and they let God speak to them first. So God is going to speak to you first before you begin to fill this list in. And I have these little pieces of paper all around my house. I cannot tell you how often I do this. I will sit before the Lord and I will bring my requests to the Lord, the things I'm asking of him. And there are some things that have been on those lists a very long while. A salvation of a child, the salvation of a grandchild, whatever it is, some situation that is perhaps a long-term project. And I am not going to give up until those prayers are answered. But time and time again, I will find these pieces of paper folded in my Bible with a date on. And I open them and I look at them and I go, Lord, sometime between that date and today, you have answered every single thing I asked for. And I want to encourage you and bless you that the Lord wants to say, I want to answer your asking. Before we do that, I want to look at the word, and we're going to put up, if we can, the next slide, please. We already referenced the Lord's Prayer today. We're going to put it up in the absolute bare bones that Jesus gave it to us in Matthew 6. Remember the disciples said, teach us to pray. And he, how long is it? Is it four sentences? Jesus taught the disciples to pray with four sentences. What was he thinking? He was thinking, I can trust the Holy Spirit to take this living word. And how many thousands of times have you prayed this prayer in your life? Do you remember learning it when you were knee-high to grasshopper? I mean, is this the best known piece of scripture? Probably. probably the best known piece of scripture, and it was his response to teach his disciples to pray. And we are now going to do exactly what they did at Urban Hands this week. I'm going to allow you more than they did. You're allowed more than one word, but you're not allowed a whole sentence, okay? Because the extraordinary thing about scripture is it is a living word. Even though you've said this thousands of times in your life, the Lord wants to give you fresh bread right now. He wants to give each one of you something out of the Lord's prayer today that is fresh, living, and new to you today in the circumstance. And only the Holy Spirit can do that. And someone described, this is we haven't got time to teach biblical meditation this morning, but this is a sample of what biblical meditation is like. Someone said, it is the digestive faculty of the soul which converts the word into real and proper nourishment, so that we often find more in the revolving of a single verse in our minds than in the mere reading of whole chapters. And Duncan Campbell once, in a response to someone who said, I've been through the word many times, his response to them was, but has the word been through you? And this morning, the Lord wants this word to go through you and become your authoritative gift. The Lord wants to give it to you this morning so you have authority to write this at the top of your Ebenezer Jehovah Jireh list, that today God is saying something to you about how he wants to answer your asking. Okay, let's just submit this to the Lord. And what we're going to do, it's have absolute silence in here. This, we're in agreement with one another, right? This is what we have. This service is consecrated to. But that doesn't mean to say that anyone's going to know what's on your piece of paper. But you're in a consecrated space. You're in consecrated time. And therefore, there is a holiness in this room right now that as you bring your asking to the Lord, you're actually in agreement with everybody in the room. We're agreeing with you that the Lord is now going to confirm to you that you can ask him of these things that are concerning you, that need to be answered in your life. They can be huge. They can be to do with someone's salvation. They can be very small as, oh God, help me buy the right car this week. God is as interested in it all. Whatever is bothering you today is bothering him. And he's saying, I love you. Would you let me love you? Would you let me answer your asking? So we'll spend about 5 minutes. Just let a phrase of this become reality to you. Okay? Let it become new to you today. And then, maybe not even be a full 5 minutes. You may feel after a couple, 2, 3 minutes is done. And then you can start writing in the presence of the Lord what you in your life need to be asking, what you need answered. You guys have done a lot of praying this summer for Urban Hands, for Care Company, for TAG. You'll be doing TAG again next week. This is your Sunday. And let's, in the presence of the Lord, lay out our requests before him. Lord, we have said many times in this church, in healing prayer, as Amy said again for Urban Hands, you, the living God, do show up. You do show up for us. And we're asking you again this morning to come into this process for us, to be here for us, to show up for us, Lord. And therefore, each and every one, you are a good father. When sons and daughters ask a good father for bread, you do not give us stones. And so we ask this morning for bread for everybody today in this room out of this well-known prayer that you taught us to pray. Bring a word, a phrase, bring a thought, bring this alive, that it is like a living sword in our hand, and we can put it at the top of our Ebenezer list, that you will answer our asking in the way you do, which is perfect and good and true. So we make our request known to you today with thanksgiving for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
We know so often, Lord, it is the answers to the askings of another that end up being the answers for our own life. As you minister through others to us, as others are able to give of their plenty to us in our need. Lord, we thank you for this cry heart invitation of yours before the cross. to ask you to abide in you. That if your word abides in us, we can ask with assurance. And we thank you that it was all addressed to your Father. Lord, we understand that this is almost your way, our need. You use our need to get you to yourself, that you want relationship with us. You want to be intimate with us. And so, Lord, we submit these lists to you not simply as a Jehovah Jireh, Ebenezer needs list. Lord, let it become a doorway, this crumpled piece of paper. Let it become a fresh doorway to renewed intimacy in every life, of relating to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, who ask among themselves and ask of us. Oh, what grace. What grace. And Lord, where we need empowerment, where we need perseverance, where we need persistence, where we need the affections alongside the person we're praying for, the situation, we ask you to supply it. And Lord, as we've often heard, it's not prayer changes things. Prayer changes us. Asking changes us. And I pray you'll make us bold and believing to ask of you and to ask of ourselves. We pray these things in your name. Amen.